All of you, greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be here again. Last Sunday we were down at Life in Christ, and it was good to be there again. Church there is growing. There's people that I were familiar faces, but hadn't seen in church before, so it's good to see the church growing there and brothers being blessed. Open your Bible to John chapter 8 this morning for a message. The verse here we're going to kind of pull out of a story, and then we'll come back and look at it a little bit later. These are words of Jesus, and he is talking to the Pharisees and the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus had these words to say. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My mind was drawn to this subject this week as I thought about our Night of Light service that we had to cancel because of weather, or postpone rather. As you know, it's been our tradition that on the night when the city observes Halloween, we get together and have a service here and share the light of Jesus when it's dark physically and spiritually. If you've been here for that service, you can relate to what my thoughts of it being a very dark time. I'm reminded each time we have one of those services, the conflict between light and darkness, and how there's such a contrast between the two. They're displayed side by side. And that's a theme throughout the Bible. The light and darkness, they stand in contrast to each other, and they are opposing forces. Light is also always associated with God and understanding and righteousness and peace and joy and hope and love. These are all experiences that come from God, and God is light. And darkness is always associated with evil and sin and ignorance and crime and hatred and destruction and death. Those are all fruits of darkness. I was reminded again yesterday as we saw these costumes walking up and down the street. Some were innocent, for sure, but there were some that were just plain down evil. It was obvious that these things are not from God. They are from the devil. Blood and gore and frightening things, all opposite of what God would have for his children. This morning I want to consider natural light briefly, as an introduction for our thoughts this morning. Then we want to make a few spiritual comparisons. Darkness is the absence of light. Where there is no light, there is darkness. But when light is brought to a situation, darkness has to leave when light comes. And light pushes back the darkness. And the size of the light determines how far back the darkness is pushed. We go outside at night carrying a candle. There's a little bit of light that comes from that. But if we use a spotlight, there's more light and there's more darkness that's pushed back. And if you drive past the Altoona Curve Stadium over here, as it's getting dark, they have the lights on, and those are tremendously bright lights, and darkness is pushed back even farther. Light brings clarity and understanding. We can be looking at something in the dark, and we're having difficulty figuring out what it is. We get a light, and it brings clarity to that situation. Thought about this week. Jared and I were working in a storage unit on a garage door, and obviously there's no lights in there. It's a dark place, and when the door comes down, there's no other light, and you can't see. We were holding flashlights and trying to see in the tight spaces to work on this door. And as Jared held the light, I could see what I was trying to do. There was a small cotter pin I was trying to put in. And when the light is shown in that exact spot, you can see it clearly. Put it in. Light brings clarity and understanding. Light is attractive. We are naturally drawn to light. Humans are drawn to light. Life is drawn to light, for that matter. There's something about the warmth of a light that draws us. I don't know how it is in your living room, but there's a number of chairs for me to sit in, but I tend to sit beside the one that has the lamp. Maybe because that's where I read. I don't know, but I'm drawn to that spot because of that light. And light is attractive. Light brings life. Those of you who enjoy mornings, getting up before it's light, if you're sitting outside, whether it's on your porch or the woods, and as those first rays of sun start to come up and the light shines in and life starts to, the earth starts to awaken, it's a beautiful thing to experience. In a very natural sense, there would be no life without the light of the sun, obviously. Light is essential to life. Well, those are some of the natural aspects of life, light. But this morning I would like to use for a title, The Light of the World. And we're going to be looking at the whole Bible this morning, because this whole book is light. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're going to be from cover to cover this morning. So turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at the origin of light. I broke the message into three parts this morning. I'd like to look at God, the source of light. Secondly, Jesus, the light of the world. And then thirdly, let your light shine. God, the source of light. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read the first five verses here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Just let our minds wonder a little bit at what this might have looked like. Water everywhere and complete darkness, no light. And verse 2 tells us that God said, God's Spirit moved on the water, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We think about light coming from a source, from the sun, from a candle, from a flashlight, or whatever we use to produce light. But God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Where did this light come from that was created on day one? Just hold that question for a minute. Remember, it wasn't until day four of creation that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the things that we perceive as light. Where was this light coming from? Light and darkness, day and night, existed before the sun and moon were created. God separated the light from the darkness. God saw the light and he called it good. This is a law of God, that light is good and darkness is evil. God separated it here from the very beginning. God is the source of light, and all light comes from him. We'll look at another passage here that brings that out as well. Turn to Exodus chapter 10. Thinking about where did the light come from when God said, "Let there be light." Exodus 10, we're going to read three verses, 20 through 23. Exodus 10, 20 to 23. God was working in Pharaoh's heart here to get him to let the people go. And God was sending plagues. Let's break in verse 20. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Where did this light come from? Let your mind run a little bit here. If it's completely dark everywhere, and there's light over there in the Israelites' houses over there in Goshen. Where's this light coming from? This was a very dark place here in Egypt. It was very dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a very dark place. It's hard here in Pennsylvania for sure. There's places I'm sure that you can experience darkness. But if you go thinking about Bangladesh, when you step outside in some of those small villages and there's not any big city close by, the stars are very bright because it is very dark and they shine very bright. I think the darkest place that I have ever been was when I was a boy. My dad was in construction and they were building a bank, and they had built the vault first and then they're building the bank around the vault. And someone opened the vault for us to go in and they closed the door. And it was very dark in that vault. I mean, you could hold your hand right in front of your face and you couldn't see it. You could feel it before you could see it. I believe that's how it was here in Egypt. It was a dark place. But over there in the Israelites' houses, there was light. There's many scriptures we could turn to that would give us the thought that where God is, there is light. Even in the darkness, even at night when it's dark, God's presence brings light. For example, when the children of Israel left Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, there was a pillar that stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And that pillar was a light to the Israelites, but it was darkness to the Egyptians. And it confused them. They lost their way. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and he was in communication with God, and he was up there for 40 days, and when he came back down, his face shone from simply being in the presence of God and talking with him. His face shone so brightly that the Aaron and the children of Israel had to put a veil in front of Moses' face. They couldn't look at him because his face shone with the light from God. When the angels announced the birth of Christ, Luke 2:9 says, "The glory of the Lord shone round about them." When Paul was on his way to Damascus to take more Christians and put them in prison, there was a bright light that shone down, and it struck him down. It was a powerful light, blinded him. When God's presence is in a place, there is light. And we could follow this theme throughout the whole Bible. Darkness has to flee when the presence of God is displayed. We talked about the silent time this morning in our Sunday school class between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That was also a very dark time, not so much or not physically, but there was a spiritual darkness. God was not communicating with his people. His presence was departed from the temple, and it was a dark time for the people. Even in this dark time, there were people, though, that were still looking forward to that when that light would come. And they knew those prophecies. Isaiah 9, verse 2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." They were looking forward to this time. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, prophesied of this light that would come. In Luke 1, verse 79, it says, "To give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." This morning, we have the privilege of being people of the light, being people who have the light of Jesus in our hearts. And we are following him in that light. For the second part of the message, I'd like to look at Jesus being the light of the world. God's presence gives light, and God visited man through his son Jesus Christ. And that is how Jesus is the light of the world. He brought light to the people that sat in darkness, the people who were looking for him. I'd like to look at a number of ways that Jesus is the light of the world in the same areas that we talked about in natural light. First one is, light brings clarity. We saw in John chapter 8, verse 12. I'll just read it again. "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's so much in life that doesn't make sense without the knowledge of Jesus. When we have the light of Jesus in our hearts, we understand why we are here and what our purpose is here on earth. Life has meaning when the light of Jesus shines into our life. It brings clarity to our lives and our situations. Even though we may be in a difficult situation, the light of Jesus brings clarity. Yes, we still struggle. We still wrestle with the things that God brings into our life. But we look to Jesus as our light, and he shows us the way forward. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 9. Bible scholars know that John writes a lot about light. We're going to be spending some time in John and 1 John. Right now, let's read St. John, or the book of John, 1 to 9. Thinking about Jesus bringing life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus gives us life through the light of his word. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 that we were dead. If you remember Kinley Coulter teaching on Ephesians 2, and he told us how dead we were. Anybody remember the picture he gave us of how dead we were? Remember, he took us back to Ezekiel 37, the valley that Ezekiel saw of the dead bones that were completely dry. I remember Kinley telling us that we were not drowning and someone threw us a life vest. We were dead already. We were not struggling to make it. We were dead. And the good news is that Jesus came as the light and gave us life, and that we can have it more abundantly, it says. Light exposes. Turn over just a couple pages to John chapter 3. Let's read verse 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light of Jesus exposes sin. That's why the Pharisees hated Jesus so much. He exposed their hearts and their darkness. Going back to John chapter 8, where the lady was caught, the woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And these men brought her to Jesus and said, "The law says she should be stoned. What do you think we should do with her?" And Jesus just humbly bows down and begins to write in the dirt. I don't know what he wrote, but they continued to ask him, what should we do? And then he stood up and just simply said, "The person in this circle who has no sin in his own life, he can cast the first stone." And it says, one by one, starting at the greatest, they began to leave until it was just Jesus and the woman standing there. One by one, they all left. Jesus had exposed their sin. They had come to the light for truth, and they had seen truth, and they were rejecting it. They were walking away. People who want to do evil deeds, they wait for the nighttime to do these so they can be covered by darkness. And we are the people of light. Light draws people together. I mentioned earlier, we're naturally drawn to light. The light of Jesus brings us together as brothers and sisters. Turn over to 1 John. 1 too many papers in my Bible here. 1 John 1, let's read verse 3 to 7, and then 7 to 11 in chapter 2. 1 John 1, 3 to 7. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Over to chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Light attracts. Light brings people together. Light brings brothers and sisters in Christ together. We lay down our differences, and we have fellowship one with another. And we have a love for each other. That is the love of Jesus, and that light shining in our hearts. As we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, I hope that is the light that shines on our faces when we, as we go about. We'll talk about this a little bit more in our next point. But do we have love? Is it written all over our face? Love brings together and reconciles our differences as brothers and sisters. And our third point, let your light shine. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we have the light of Jesus, it's not going to be a secret. Other people are going to know about it. And we are just reflectors of the light. Let's never forget that. It's not our own light. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul makes this point very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 1 through 7. The light that we have to shine to the world, and God being the source of that light. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 is a mouthful and it's packed. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Therefore, where it starts in verse 1, means we need to look back at what was Paul talking about before this passage. And he was talking about the spiritual blindness of the people. People who have not seen the light of Jesus. We have had our eyes open. We have the light in our hearts. We have a responsibility to the people who have not had their eyes opened. Paul is real with the fact here that sharing the light is not going to be easy. In verse 1, he says, we faint not. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult as we continue to push back against the darkness by spreading the light. and turning away from the darkness of this world. It's going to be difficult. The world doesn't understand the message of Jesus, but they can see when it's lived out. And that's the challenge to us. Are we living out the message of Jesus? Satan wants to keep people blinded, and we that have the privilege and the responsibility to spread this light to them. People are looking for answers and for truth. Verse 5 points out what our message should be. It says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's our message. Yesterday we handed out magnets, and I think Brother Clyde had these made. It said on it, Jesus is our hope. My grace is sufficient for you. Do you know this hope-giving power? And the light of the world is Jesus. That's the message that we have. That's the message that we can share. Verse 6 points out that if the light first has to shine in our hearts before we can reflect it to those around us. It says here, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Verse 7 is such an encouragement to me. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus could share his light in many ways to the world around us, but he has chosen to use earthen vessels. He's chosen to use us, imperfect humans, people who struggle with sin, people who struggle with anger, people who don't always say the right thing. That's who he has chosen to spread his light to those around. He's chosen imperfect people for a specific reason and a purpose. And it says here in the end of verse 7 that the power may be of God and not of us. It's not us. We point that back to Christ. For a couple verses yet, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verse 1 through 20. We'll just look at it briefly here. Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering of sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be made... Let me start out with verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, walk as children of light. How does a child of light walk? Verse 1, let's just quickly go across these. I'm sorry, verse 2. The child of God walks in love as Christ hath loved us. How did Christ love us? Romans 5 says, for For when ye were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love that the child of God has. Not for the people that are lovely, not for those who love them, but for the people who are unlovely. Verse 3 and verse 5 list a covetous person right in the list with the person who is a fornicator and a filthy person. And it talks about in verse 5 that a covetous man who is an idolater, a person who is walking in the light, will be a contented person. He's not going to be always wanting more. The person who is walking in the light is walking in a different direction. In verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." No fellowship, no interaction. Light and darkness do not mix. When light comes, darkness has to flee. We are walking a different direction. Person that's walking in the light is not sleepwalking. In verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We are awake and observant of what is going on around us. A person who is walking in the light walks circumspectly. It's found in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And verse 20 says, "Giving of thanks." The person who is walking the light will be a thankful person. He's giving thanks to Christ for the light that he has shed in his life. In conclusion here, I'd like to read two verses, one from Philippians and one from Romans. Philippians 2, verse 15 says, "This is how we are to walk in the light, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Is that how we're walking this morning? Above rebuke, blameless and harmless, as we walk in this world. Romans 13, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Night is coming when we will not have the opportunity to share the light of Jesus with those around us. Let's be doing that today, showing people the way, showing people the light. There's a day coming that we're not going to need the light, because the essence of will be in the presence of the essence of light himself, and there will be no darkness. Revelation 22, verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." We're looking forward to that, aren't we? When we won't need the light anymore, because we'll be in the presence of light itself. God help us. We're not there yet. Let's be the children of light and walking the light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Lord, help us to walk in that light as we go about this dark world. There's many things that want to drag us back into darkness, but Lord, help us to walk in the light of your word, the light of your spirit. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that we can have with brothers and sisters who, on this journey, who help us to keep our focus and to walk in the light. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here that is in darkness, I pray that your light would shine into their hearts and soften it and speak to them. And Lord, that we would be able to someday be in your presence in the very essence of light itself. Bless those who could not be here this morning or sick. Just pray that you would bless them in a special way. Lord, we just pray for your healing. We do pray for the end of COVID and its effects on us. Lord, I pray that you would drive the forces of evil back. thank you again for all you do for us. Bless us on our journey. And as we go from here, we ask this in Jesus' name.